Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is Plush Care. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good
this
morning.
Is nice, isn't it? It's like I actually watched a film that did this yesterday where the next film follows on like from the last scene of the film before.
Yeah.
And we did that. We stopped here the other day.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
We just met here again.
A week
it's like
later.
I've just been standing here and you've just been running for a week. Is that how it feels?
Not strictly true.
No.
No, I mean, no. I did a couple more. I can't remember when we last met. Was it Monday?
It was last Monday.
Yeah. I did two long runs. I did Monday, Tuesday long runs, and then I did Thursday, Friday, like 2 hour runs each day. So
yep.
And felt good on that.
So you tried that, what you were saying last week, two consecutive days within the week.
Yeah. Just two and two.
Yeah.
So that I'm fresh for the really long runs.
Yep.
And it seems to be working. I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Very good, very good.
I didn't have a drink last week.
Running wise, did you feel really tired or really fresh at any given point?
I just felt okay, you know. I'm just feeling. I mean, the 2 hour runs don't take much out of me, which is nice.
That is a good thing. Yeah.
And then the second long run can be a bit hard, but
yep.
You just do it, don't you?
Yeah.
You just get into that mentality of doing it. I didn't have a drink yesterday.
Well, very good.
So that's unusual. And obviously I feel loads better.
You feel an advantage, yeah. Oh, my God, that's good. People walking out. We're just walking. We've chosen a different route. We're heading off Hampstead Heath. That's right. Off the Heath.
Off the Heath.
And we're going to cut through to Primrose Hill and see about running down to Regent's Park. And
yeah,
it's a brisk, breezy and bracing Monday morning, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's one of those mornings where they shut the woods early.
Yep.
It's not that bad, actually. It might get worse later on, but it was pretty bad this morning. I understand why they did it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we know yet. This could be blowing in. This could be it.
Yeah.
But it could get pretty...
It was pretty intense during the night. They've closed Highgate Woods. They've closed Kenwood House.
Yeah. And obviously they've taken the precautionary measure of bombing Kenwood House, smashing it to bits, just so it doesn't get destroyed.
It was going to happen anyway.
It's quite exciting to be there for that. It's like in the '70s when we all used to gather around to watch and knocking those chimneys down.
and I went and bought loads of. Marathon de Sable gear.
Yeah.
On Friday, I did a gig in Southend for Gary Jackets, who's done loads of ultras, and he took me to a shop where he supplied kit out Marathon de Sable people.
Yeah.
So I bought like a rucksack and gaiters for the shoes and all that kind of palaver.
Yep.
And a compass and a little knife and all that kind
of. Is it starting to feel very real?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I'm going to...
There's nothing like the outlay of money.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I mean, if the Marathon de Sable hurts less than the actual how much it's cost me, I'll be winning. Because it's painful. It is a bit... It's all a bit pricey. It does add up, I must say.
Yeah, I was talking to Lisa Ascott about this on Saturday. Because, you know, in a really good way, a lot of that conversation is about access to... all different events and distances and sort of diversity and stuff. And of course, a factor within that
is money.
Is how incredibly expensive this game.
Well, the marathon. I mean, yeah. I mean, the MDS especially. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's going to eat up 2/3 of the amount of money I'm getting on writing the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's going to be very little left. So,
well, is it when the book goes to the top?
Oh, when the book goes platinum, yeah. But to all extents
and Judy recommend it.
Yeah, to all extents really and purposes, it's a rich person's game, the Marathon de Sable.
Yeah, and a real shame in general.
It's a real shame, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's sort of I'm not a kind of gear person anyway. I'm not motivated by gear, though. Of course, I understand the necessity for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it provides ample fuel for obsessives to obsess and obsess and obsess about
right,
the gear.
Exactly. I mean,
there's so much advice flying around about this, about the gear and what's
that's
best.
That's an interesting thing about running, isn't it? Because I think with a lot of sports and activities, really good ones, that's just written in, and it has to be. You know, for example, if you're into also other
cycling,
other rich people's things. Oh yes, cycling. Yeah. I was going to say mountain climbing or sailing.
Yeah.
Then you absolutely need gear and the best gear. You know.
Yeah.
The funny thing about running is, you kind of do and you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really understand. It's interesting what you say. I mean, I think in terms of our listeners, as in so many ways, this is one of those areas where both of us are probably slightly out of step with the community. Do you know what I mean? Because I think that there is a dialogue about the best, everything from the best headphones to the best shoes to the best hydration and fueling and everything in between. And that's a very reasonable conversation. And but also, I think it's a way of defining it, isn't it? Yeah. If you can say, I've got this money and I'm going to spend it on this activity, and that's me, that's what I do.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, I think it's an identity thing.
It's an identity thing, and I totally see that and respect that. Particularly when it's not. That would be silly if you were buying identity things that weren't of any use.
Yeah.
But as it is, and it's all tied in with that stuff of, you know, I was going to say the stories we tell ourselves, but that sounds like I'm dissing it, but I'm not. We're creating a narrative here. Yeah, it's like when I get up on Saturday morning, I'm a person who's going to go and do a parkrun. I need to tell myself that because I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, the gear has always been a means to an end sort of thing, but
yeah.
And I don't know, it's just sort of debates about, do you take poles or not? Do you take hard or soft water carriers? Do you do that? It never ends, you know.
Yeah. Which but, do you choose, know, a hard or soft option?
Yeah.
From Lake Geneva to the Finland station. Got a heart of glass or a heart of stone. Just you wait till I get you home. Got no future, got no past. Here today, built to last. Do you remember when the Pet Shop Boys did a marathon?
Yeah, yeah. They loved it, yeah.
They loved it.
Yeah. So, and yeah, and the food and the, you know, the whole. And, but, you know, it's you've just got to engage with it, obviously, you know.
At my gig on Friday night, quite reasonably and not unusually,
yeah,
I got into a conversation with one of the other acts about guitars and loop pedals and things.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've got and that's what I
Sorry.
Do. Thank you. But it's interesting.
And that, I suppose that's the same, isn't it?
It's just but it's interesting
for me
because
enthusiasm, isn't it?
I seem to have a life where
Sorry, mate.
The kit always finds me.
Right.
Because I see myself as the same as you. I'm really not, A, I'm not into it, and B, I find it quite, what's the word? I worry about it. I find it quite bewildering, kit.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not good with tech.
Yes.
You know, people look at my pedals and say, what does that do? And I don't know.
Yeah.
I set it up once and I don't want to think about it ever again. But as a musician, it just led me naturally towards pedals and leads and plugs and then you find it, then you learn just from experience what works,
right?
And you start to know stuff as well as making decisions, and suddenly you're that person, you know. Never mind that I was a drummer.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a lot more fun to be a drummer if you gave a monkeys about drum kits.
Yeah.
I don't care, I just want to hit them. don't like it if it sounds rubbish. I'm basically born for fame. I'd like it to be someone else's problem, you know.
It's different.
That's what we need is roadies.
It's different characters, isn't it? Yeah, it's sort of...
We get a break here because there's loads of cars coming around the corner.
I mean, the truth is with the Marathon des Sables, I won't know which things I like until I've done it.
No, no.
That's the thing, you know.
Well, here's another...
You need to do one to understand it. So.
Yeah. When you had babies, did you buy loads of kit then to make yourself feel like you were doing it right?
Yes, sort of. A little bit. But yeah, it's but you're right. And then your second kid, you know, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That we go down to... we throw money at it, really, because you go down and park in Cavendish Square.
Yeah.
Parking in central London, you know, cha-ching!
Yeah.
And then go into John Lewis.
John Lewis, yeah.
I think we need this, I think we need that.
We're having a baby.
Go through armfuls of stuff like something out of a Hollywood film.
Yeah.
And then some of those things, you get every possibility, it must be the same. Sometimes you get something that's really fancy and expensive, but you never regret it for one moment.
Yeah.
Like we had a baby monitor that could play songs.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, it worked a treat.
Yeah.
And it looked nice. It's like saved our lives. You know, every now and again you'd play and one of them would make a fuss. You play a bit of music, they go back to sleep.
Nice.
And never mind them hearing music, you're like, oh, that's just like a miracle. And then other things, they're either really basic but absolutely wonderful. A plastic thing that you could put 3 servings of baby formula into, so you're sorted for the whole day.
Yeah.
Or we had a baby bath. Ugly thing, massive. Never used it. Never used it once.
Yeah.
You know, so you, like you say, you just don't know. But there is that element of, you know, doing that to comfort yourself. So that,
and there's also the thing of like people had kids and ran Marathon des Sables without these things.
Yeah.
And it was okay. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it never ends the comfort you can offer yourself or the things that make you a little bit faster or whatever.
Well, what did John Maynard Keynes say? In an affluent society, there are no luxuries, only necessities.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I must have it. I definitely need that.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I kind of... Sometimes think I'm in the wrong... That's a classic old Gifford thing. The wrong decade. The wrong decade.
Yeah, wrong century.
Bring us back to the 70s.
What about? I'm sure it wasn't just tech. You said that jackets was going to give you the SP on the whole situation. Also, you asked online the other day.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's. That was more of a kind of.
Look at that.
Ooh. Old. Yeah.
Oh, we must have come to a nice part of town now. A navy Karmann gear.
Ooh, old school Porsche.
Hello, yes please. Brum. Do you think they'll let you drive one of those two this?
Yeah, yeah. No, that was more a kind of sort of fundraising reach out. I mean, Jackett's done loads, but he's very much of the it's all mental kind of thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't he's
Do you mean it's all in terms of mental control, or do you mean it's all crazy?
It's all in terms of mental control. I wouldn't describe him as a tough matter, but he's on the way.
Yeah.
He's tough, he's hard, you know.
He said
the thing about it is, it's just like, you get your sub 3 marathon runners and race off, and then you get me, I'll just pass him on the third day when they're on the floor finished. That obviously has to be seen as a coded reference to me, surely. I mean, that's quite... I don't know how I'm meant to respond to that. Well, I assured him of my...
you haven't gone off too fast yet.
Well, I assured him of my humility. I'm not going to be setting off fast at the Marathon des Sables. But yeah, I think he thinks I'm a bit of a newbie, which I obviously am.
Yeah, you're with
everyone. I absolutely am.
Everyone's going to do it for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, but I am... if I can continue this trajectory of training and not get injured... I'll be fairly confident about my physical capabilities.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that there's loads of militaristic speak about it as well, like podcasts.
Yeah.
Your plans never survive first contact and all that kind of palaver. And that's I just don't like that.
No, I had that.
I'm not
you remember
like
my
that.
Friend, really good old friend of mine, he said, do you want to do the original mountain marathon?
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But it's so tied in with... military thinking and the actual military.
It's just
not for me.
No,
respect and everything, but no.
I get it, and I get you sort of need that mindset of things go wrong, you just do it, You adapt. You constantly adapt.
Yeah.
Nothing's personal, blah, blah, blah. I get all that, but yeah. I'm just not like that.
Well, and also, I mean, it's such a shame in a way we should have changed ends, because I went out on Saturday and ran with Lisa Arscott, who you remember, I know her from National Running Show last year.
Yeah.
We were talking about doing tips from exactly the opposite of that.
Right.
People not like that.
Yeah.
To do first-time ultras, you know?
Right.
And she's just the absolute other end of the scale. We're talking... The whole point of it is I'm talking to her... I was reintroduced to her by Threshold because of what we were talking about the other week, the Ultra 50-50.
Right.
Which is about trying to achieve gender parity in ultras.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, noting that basically right across the board of ultras, only a third of the people who do them are women.
Yeah.
And also, they've got great... They're kind of chosen challengers, of which Lisa is one. They're all... Obviously, they're women, but they're also from a really brilliantly chosen spectrum of life experience.
Right.
You know, first of all, there's black and Asian women.
Yeah.
And diversity in this kind of thing is also something that's massively missing. And they're also like one person who's like a CEO of a company, one person who's run a load of marathons, one person who's recovered from cancer and hasn't done that much running at all.
Right.
And, you know, just looking at all their journeys and trying to, with the overarching message is that the fundamental thing we were saying is that as long as you want to do it and, you do it right, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and the do it right bit is, let's cross here, is really key, because
I mean
you have to stay within the compass of the training, right?
Yeah,
that's the
I mean I must say I am still struggling a bit with a big why. I mean
it's a tough
I'm writing about it and I'm curious about it and I'm interested in doing it and I'm enjoying the training. I'm enjoying feeling that I'm getting stronger and it's going to benefit me later in the year for my running and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm struggling for a why at that moment.
Yeah.
Where it's really, really tough.
Yeah, yeah,
And you've got it. Do you know, I haven't quite got the ultimate why yet.
Just
so,
makes you think of the New York Marathon. You always think, or I could stop. It's a dangerous thing at any point.
Yeah, 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 totally.
Or I could just stop doing this.
And I need to kind of... You know, and I think we've talked before about you run these things to find out some stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I haven't found really my why yet.
I don't know if this is useful or whether you agree or anything, but one of the interesting things that came out of talking to Lisa...
Yeah.
And just to give the idea, now she is a teacher, woman in her 40s. She's like, in her own words, she's like, I've got curves...
Yeah,
she's basically talking as someone. She, you know how people, when people we said we just people saying I'm not a runner.
Yeah.
She said, and it's much more important, was I'm not a traditional runner.
Right. Okay.
And the thing is, she's done loads of this stuff.
Right. Okay.
She's really good at it.
Yeah.
And she's just not coming from that vibe at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
And one of the things that we came to, like what you were just saying, and I found this very interesting personally, is starting to think of the why, particularly coming from someone who does a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't have done that Race of the Stones without being a pilgrimage in memory of my dad.
Yeah.
But really, and this is strange, but in the end, that why is just a means to an end. It's a why that makes you want it.
Yes.
And once you want it, you're there.
Yeah.
It's interesting how when I went and did the next one, that was all there was. It was just to do another one.
Right.
And that was the want.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so in a way, if you really want it, it doesn't need to be like a justification so much as just an energy, you know?
Yeah.
You're nearly there, by the way.
Yeah,
you've got some quite exciting road works and railway
sort of
works.
I know it sounds a little bit bit wussy, but I'm interested in it from a... from a spiritual perspective, in that when people talk about the Marathon of Sable, they always talk about you know, concepts of finding God. People talk about things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm a religious person anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not one of those people. I talk to Jesus every morning, but do you know what I mean? I'm of that mindset.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see whether I do see it as a bit of a sort of spiritual refinement kind of thing as well, some kind of stripping away of stuff. Yeah. Which marathons give you?
Yeah.
I'm interested in that bubble that people talk about post-ultra.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and that you sometimes get after a decent marathon, that feeling of serenity and what that is.
Yeah,
you know?
Lightness, yeah.
I'm interested in that and connection, etc.
Yeah, completely. That's interesting, because...
That's not tough matter. That's not... Come on, first contact. That's not... It's more about surrendering to it, you know.
The thing about that kind of turf, military, all that business... Nothing wrong with it, but it is Absolutely. Just another story people are telling themselves to get themselves around.
Yeah, it's great tactics as well. I mean,
yeah,
because obviously things are going to go wrong.
Yeah,
but I'm more of the like surrender to it. Be soft with it, sort of thing.
Here we are coming into Primrose Hill Park. We made it.
Yeah,
we made it across town.
Especially with the length of it, it's like the marathon, the sub three. I got a bit bullish with it.
Yeah.
Because it was a bit aggressive. And you can chunk 3 hours down, can't you? You can chunk that down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it's just, I don't know, what is it? Just 3 minute miles all the way around?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
three times 30 is 3 hours, that's it, isn't it?
Oh, you chunk it into like, you know, 10Ks or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but you know.
See that little dog?
Yeah.
So those gorgeous little fluffy white dogs.
What's my
in
wine?
A high wind.
Yeah. What's my wine?
Well, here I go! Going through the desert! Bing!
But two marathons and a double marathon and then two more marathons, it's hard to... I'm not going to be able to bull my way through that anyway.
No, you can't.
So,
but you have to be... You have to feel like your training encompasses it.
Yes.
That's
the
real trick.
So when I feel... Hello, babies. When I feel tired when I'm doing the long runs, I keep running.
Yeah, know? That's right.
You know,
and that comes from a... You know. I think... Morning, my boys. It comes to a point that's quite a long way from the spiritual thing, but still very, you know, primal and from the soul, which is that sense of knowing you can do it,
yeah.
Which stands separate from feeling like you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, funnily enough, think about, morning, my boy, that blooming Hampstead Heath Park run, of all things.
Yeah.
I reckon this could get muddy, but should we go around the edge and give it a go?
Yeah, let's do that.
We're trail runners.
Let's go muddy.
We're running anything.
Let's go muddy.
Turf!
That's it.
Oh, now I'm in the mud. It's a nightmare. Oh, Paul, it is a nightmare. I'm having a nightmare.
Here we go.
But, it's only a little thing by comparison, but I think the mindset is the same. Whereby I went to that Hampstead Heath park run and I hadn't been well.
Yeah.
And I started to feel tired. And I thought, oh, no, I'm ill. This is a nightmare. And then another time, a few months later, I went back and thought, started to feel really blown out and tired and thought, oh yeah, that's just how I feel.
Yeah.
On we go.
It's that kind
that
of,
distinction is really keen.
It's that sort of pain is inevitable, suffering's optional, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're gonna be in discomfort for long stages, whether you want to see that as a suffering state.
Yeah.
Is sort of a state of mind, but I mean...
Yeah, and more fundamentally,
you
know, whether you're going to fight it and go...
Yeah.
Or just go...
Oh, who I am.
Accept
now.
And move
this is,
on.
This is what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I got a sneak preview of Susie Chan's book.
Oh, yeah.
Because they sent me it to have a look at it. Trails and Tribulations of Susie Chan.
Brilliant.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
She's just got loads of good stories to tell, and she tells them really naturally.
Yeah, she's so good.
And well, and she's really so buoyant.
And does it go to dark places?
Pardon?
Does it go to quite dark places?
A little bit, sometimes.
Yeah.
But she's got that sort of up and out of mindset, but from quite a light place. But she's obviously tough as any mudder out there.
Yeah.
It's just a great read, really. I was just skimming it, and I ended up reading really long sections, and it took most of Saturday. It's a great book.
I can't believe we came this way. It's a nightmare.
It's turf with turf matters.
Turf
matters all the way through with turf.
When it comes down to it, is there anything we can note about the different attitudes of the people we've been talking about ultras? Anything we can spot about the differences between Lisa and Susie and, say, Gary?
Well,
something to do with beards!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, saying it's toxic.
No, no, but
we're all crayons. We're non-toxic.
But you see some...
but still.
But some people wear it lightly, don't they?
Yeah.
Some sort of, I'm hoping to meet some sort of desert mystics.
And to a certain extent, you can decide if that's how you feel. Because, of course, this comes up actually a lot on the music, on the Ronnie Church Radio Hour, because everyone knows that being unhappy or being angry can also be fantastically fueling when you're running. It's a risky, it's a dangerous game. But anger is an energy.
You're allowed to get angry.
Yeah. And, blooming hearing Rage Against the Machine on my last Brighton Marathon, it was like a turbocharge.
Yeah.
You know, and to be fair, I wasn't angry at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the music was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I still access that moment to do planking, and that's the same. And that's the same thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all very rawr.
Yeah.
We all need a rawr every now and again.
I like that. When I find myself at the dark place, I like that tune. I'm putting on my top hat.
Yeah.
Putting on my home, but riding in my face. I'm.
Polishing my shirt.
Everyone's got different methods.
Doing up my shirt. Polishing my nails. Baby. Come on, Fred Astaire. Did you ever see that Willie Rushton sketch on The Secret Policeman's Wall?
Yeah.
Where he sang that song.
No.
Yeah, maybe Ed Richards still got the piano, someone like that.
Right.
He's singing that song and doing all the clothes live. I'm...
Yeah.
Putting on my shirt stuff. Polishing my nails. It goes on for a minute or two. It's a really sweet little thing.
Yeah.
And he just stops the pianist. Just goes over to him and says... So there's nothing in there about trousers.
Yeah. yeah. I'm putting on my gaiters, putting on my rucksack.
Eating my potatoes.
eating my dried food that I despise.
I'm sparing up existence, running on my blisters, wishing I was there.
I'm sleeping in the desert.
My dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with deep heat.
Looking for my why, I can't find it.
And I hope that my wife is in the holiday place.
I'm ringing Rachel from the middle of the desert saying, come and get me. Regretting the whole thing.
You would never do that on an ultra. Phone your wife to come and rescue you.
Hello,
halfway
Rachel.
Through.
I'm in Morocco. Can you come and get me?
Remember Wiltshire?
Where are you? In the desert.
I'm on my way. Where are you?
I'm
somewhere near Dhaka. Don't really know. Up a blooming rock.
But you also know that if you really crash and burn, it really amuses the gearhead tough mudders.
Yeah.
There's nothing they like better than a newbie crashing and burning.
Well, that's no fun. See, this is why I want to do. I come out and say it. That's why I want to do a threshold event.
Yeah.
Where if you're next to someone who's not having a good time, you go, oh no, are you okay? And you try and help them.
I'm sure, to be honest, I'm sure the Marathon Disciple is pretty supportive, but.
But it sounds
I'm just getting that. I'm getting a little bit of that vibe off it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I will find out.
Yeah, the people, it's too... I think when it comes down to it...
There'll be all sorts.
I mean, he knows. He's done his stuff, so... Obviously, that stuff exists, but... It seems to me that that sense of empathy and kinship and community runs absolutely hand in hand with that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Spiritual vulnerability.
I'm sure it does, yeah.
Stripping yourself down a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all very...
You all end up
ascetic and monkish, isn't
it? Well, that's the thing. At the end of the day, you all end up running. That's always the thing, isn't it? We're just running here.
Yeah.
You know, albeit with all this kit and stuff, we're still running and obviously walking.
I think we should go right.
You'll be walking.
Go down Primrose Hill.
Right, okay.
And then we get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Go up it.
Okay.
Do you like that?
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Because that's kind of beautiful and kind of grand old Duke of York kind of stuff. But you know what else? At the bottom of here.
Yeah.
There's a toilet.
Yeah, cool.
I'm all over this.
And then we go to Regent's Park.
Yeah, good.
Cool. Oh. So did you do a park run on Saturday?
With Lisa.
Right, of course.
It was absolutely great because to go to a park run and then chat, run all the way around.
Right,
so nice, Edgbaston Park Run.
Yeah.
Do you remember me going there in the autumn?
Right.
And actually had a bit of a what you would call a tear-up.
Right, yeah, nice.
A couple of younger gentlemen.
Nice, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going together to get what now, looking back, was one of my fastest times in the last year.
Yeah.
It's two laps of the reservoir, super fast.
Yeah, I think I might have done, I think I might have done that before.
Yeah.
Is there a little hill at the end?
I don't think there's a hill.
Maybe not.
No, you're thinking of Cannon Hill Park.
Right, okay.
There's a hill there.
Right.
And the weather was exactly the same as last time, absolutely beautiful. Crispy,
yeah,
and cold, icy. And
right.
We went round and we went slower than either of us would have run because we were having such a good old chat.
Yeah, good.
And that was really good.
Nice.
And really good for me.
To me, yeah.
To remember how there's different ways of doing this stuff, you know.
Yeah. It's not a race, mate. It's not a race.
And again, just talking about how in both directions, 5K is a distance run.
Yeah.
You know, as an ultra runner, you know, Lisa's saying, you know, not to diss it or anything, but you get to 5K and you're like, yeah, I've started now.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I can go all day now.
Yeah.
And, but similarly, of course, if 5K is your maximum distance,
it's a long way.
It's a distance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's what's beautiful about it, really, but also what's challenging about it. And I think that the other thing that was great for me about doing that with her is that she's such a sociable runner. She actually said, I go to parkrun on like special occasions.
Right.
But normally I'm in this community run, which runs from this place over there, same place.
Yeah.
And that's over there. We do that on Sunday.
Right.
I'm also in the City of Birmingham Striders, and they coming up in their purple t-shirts, and she said, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so.
Amazing. Yeah,
she's also on a morning run where they all meet at 6 o'clock on a Friday morning. It's just so about, she's just connected to all these groups.
Yes.
And it was such a sequel. Do you remember saying to you the other day how surreally and illogically threatened I felt by all those groups running around Hampstead Heath?
Yeah.
It was really nice to see her and just break it from the side of someone who's in that.
Just break it down, yeah.
Because, of course, like, it's so positive.
Yeah,
of course. No one's going to say, you're not in our group.
Of course it is, yeah, yeah.
Get a beard.
Of course.
I'm obsessed with beards today.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Straight up the front?
Yeah, cool, yeah. Yeah, let's do it, yeah.
Is it me, does that cafe smell quite strongly of greens?
It felt, yeah.
Either that or I had asparagus yesterday.
Weird, yeah.
It's quite weird. I think they've overdone their broccoli, Paul. Straight up it.
Straight up. Straight up like a tear.
Straight out the front. Primrose Hill. And up it, mate. Straight up it.
First contact. Charge.
What does that mean?
First contact. Fixing bayonet. Well, first contact with the enemy. First contact with conflict, you know.
You see, for me, I know from Star Trek, and it means first contact with the friend.
Right. Maybe that's the way I should look at it.
It's quite touching, isn't it? Something to think about, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
See the desert as a friend.
Yeah. But it is such a choice, isn't it? It's ride it or fight it. And ultimately, like we say, fair enough to everything. It reminds me of me and my daughter's wave theory, you know? You can stand in the edge of the sea.
Yeah.
There's big waves coming in, right? You think, I'm just going to stand my ground and just take this wave on.
Yeah.
And then that wave will break over you.
Yeah.
And you think, good, I'll try that again.
Yeah.
The next one knocks you over. So you think, oh, okay, so I'll let myself will be loose and light.
Yeah.
And I'll just ride this next wave. And then you do that and it comes past you and you feel beautiful. And you think, oh, this works. And then another wave comes on. Turns you upside down. You get water in the sand. It's just, you know, you'd have to try anything and everything. Because everything works some of the time.
Absolutely, yeah. One thing that was interesting that came out of reading the Chan book was I didn't realise there's a bit of climbing in the Marathon de Sable.
Like hands down climbing, or just
there's one bit where there's a rope up what she describes as a mountain.
Whoa!
With drops that really scared her because she's scared of heights.
And how are you with heights?
Really, really bad. Like really bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, so, what you need to be.
So that
height's the enemy. Punch the height in the teeth.
Contact.
Hate the height.
So that's something to get my head around.
Yeah.
Or deal with or think about a little bit, visualize, just try not to get too freaked out. I mean, because obviously people don't die falling off the mountain in the Marathon de Sable. If they do, I haven't heard about it.
No.
So I can only assume she's slightly exaggerating for the book. And
I don't think that's a good assumption to make. I would say expect terror.
Yeah.
Terror!
Yeah.
Terror on the mountain.
So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, like this, we're going uphill now.
Yeah, I'm not scared of this.
No, I feel
it's
okay.
It's quite hard to. There's no, I see no sides here.
Why are you crawling, Paul?
Yeah.
But it is funny. I've been scared on easy mountains.
Have you?
You know, it's about being. Yeah. And this, I mean, talking walking really.
Yeah.
It's just get somewhere that's steep.
Yeah.
And you'll probably be fine. But if you're not confident with what's under your feet,
yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah.
It's just a subconscious thing where you think,
it just builds.
If I slip here,
it just builds and
I
builds.
Just keep slipping and keep slipping and keep slipping forever.
Yeah.
And that is worrying.
Yeah.
Although I do find, because I'm a bit dodgy with heights. Oh, gosh, nearly went down. But on the other hand, I'm much better when I'm on my own. I'm
right.
Dodgy with heights when there's other people around
me.
It sounds quite caring, but it's also really just spatial.
Right.
It's about control, you know?
Yeah, yeah, interesting, yeah.
So when I'm running on my own...
You're okay.
Which is probably when I'm least safe...
Yeah.
I feel fine.
You feel better?
I don't have time to think about it.
And also, you're not observed by anyone or anything then as well,
yeah,
are
yeah.
you?
Yeah,
there's like lack of self-consciousness.
There's no kind of 3D map around the
yeah.
thing. In Banau Brecheniog, all the rocky paths... tend to go right along the edge of the escarpment because
right.
the rest of it is mud. It's
right.
where the rock comes out and then drops away.
Yeah.
So the long lip of the crag you come down after the last peak or on the way to the last peak, doesn't matter. There's a long flat bit.
Right.
But on your left, just abyss.
Yeah.
So if you tripped and your body weight went left.
Yeah, yeah.
You Danger. Could go a long way.
Yeah.
But when I was there, it was all in cloud. And like I said, I was running on my own, so... Just
so this is nice. We're at the top of Primrose Hill.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is nice, yeah.
And a windy morn.
Yeah.
I'll get the video.
A very windy morn.
View, I mean. And then I'll get us. Look at that. It's a few rays of sunlight breaking yeah. between the clouds. It's not bad, is it?
Yeah.
One of the better views.
Beautiful.
And it was really... But what it lacks is... Good, there, your hat. That's what it needed.
Hello.
Hi.
Top of Primrose Hill.
Hey, pains. Pains inevitable. Pains up, you know.
Mystical experience, spiritual refinement.
Should we go back down the way we came up?
Well, it's up to you. I mean, we've got a Regent's Park now.
You like it soft.
I like it soft,
straight
baby.
Back down the front.
Like the wife. jokes.
Don't know what you're
jokes about erections, inability to sustain over first contact.
Men in 50s. Testing too much. Pills into gents' toilets.
Blue pills, heart attack. Is it necessary for the MDS? Unusual tactic. Over. Seems to be popping Viagra in the morning. Over.
Which way through the desert? It's that way.
No need for a tripod. Over.
Oola! Went to War of the Worlds.
First contact.
As you said, the tripod.
So,
first contact.
So where were you away this weekend, then? Sorry, you went to Birmingham. You did that. Were you gigging as well?
Yeah, I went for a gig on Friday night. I did in a primary school in Sutton Coldfield.
Oh, yes, Sutton Coldfield. Was he
It was actually quite a posh bit of Sutton Coldfield.
Oh, right.
So it's one of those gigs where you
They're
got
nice, I like
nice
those gigs. Yeah, like
yummy middle-class parents going, actually, it is quite nice.
I like that.
Actually, it is quite nice. You don't tell anybody. You like it?
Yeah, that's nice.
And that was really nice. You enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah.
And then, tell you what else I enjoyed.
Go on then.
My wife came up to visit. Me!
Me. Oh, that's nice.
So we stayed in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And then I went and saw Lisa and ran around Edgbaston.
Brilliant.
Which is, it was really good. That interview will be coming soon.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to see, you know, nice to have a friend who runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apart from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just mean, I made it sound like I didn't have one before. I just mean that's always nice.
And then you went away
and then
beyond that.
We got on a train.
Yeah.
And went to Wales.
Right.
We went, my mum got us a trip to a hotel.
Oh, that's kind.
And we were going to go to this place we've been to before near Aylesbury. We turned out it had a sister hotel, which is near where Bud's at university. So we said we'll go there instead.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, and it was his birthday.
Oh, what?
Anyway, so we went there.
What a daring get-together.
Honestly, I really need to get in touch with my mum, because we just didn't realise what a pucker trip it was going to
be. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, literally, it all went fine. It was nice and everything. But I won't give you, you know, all the info about how posh this place was. All I'll say is, me and my son had a conversation saying, it's okay that we didn't bring shirts, though, isn't it? This is smart.
Yeah.
This is smart.
Yeah, those are smart. Yeah. When you're a bit nervous about going down for
older guys in waistcoats with trays just catering to your every need. And what's amazing about that is at first you're like, ooh, and then within minutes
you get used to it.
You're home and like, well, so I just have to sit here without anyone bringing me anything. No one's going to tend to that log fire.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful. We got there in the afternoon. We walked around the grounds. My son came along. We walked, did another walk around with him. It's just stunning, kind of stately home, white in the Welsh mountains vibe.
Right.
Gave him his presents, went for this super posh meal, which was fantastic and really good for... They'd done a great job for the vegans.
Right.
Then, and then it being a... Posh hotel, we had like a hand of cards, and then he had to head off, and suddenly we were the last people up, and you know, the hotel was completely silent.
Yes.
And it was about 10 to 10.
Classy hotel, old people.
Yeah.
We're not partying here. Yeah, no stag do's.
And
so,
then
so we're coming into Regent's Park, sort
of. Very nice.
Nice.
We're about to go past that old running track.
Yeah, the old cinder track.
Have you ever been around that?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we've
talked about it before, haven't we? Over the... I didn't realise until I was looking at the map for this.
Yeah.
I've just realised this now as I say it, that this is really one of the most boring things I've ever said.
Go for
it. That's saying something.
Go for it.
The zoo.
Yeah.
It's kind of a triangle.
What, the London Zoo's a triangle?
Yeah.
Mate, there's a book in that. There's a book in that.
I've changed your world.
There's a book in that, if not a film.
It's funny that as
not
I
a
said
movie.
That, the smell of the zoo animals.
Yeah.
I mean, it beats down that asparagus, doesn't it? This is worse.
See, that is a lovely little track, that.
Tempted to go around it.
Off the track. You two. Off the track.
Loads of top. Seems to be popping Viagra on the track over.
Here it goes again.
Saltburn reenactment with a cinder track.
Can
over
you see any...
embedded in the track itself.
Zebras or giraffes over there? I cannot.
Just see a triangle, mate.
Yes, it's a triangle. The zoo's a triangle. Try to see it from my angle. Zoo's
so
a triangle.
Into the park our intrepid travellers go. We've got to go softly.
Yeah, except that's quite a pond over there.
I know, yeah.
Can we go up here and then turn right? No, wait, we go that way. It'll be all right. Let's do it. Feet get wet again. Yeah, and then up in the morning.
Yeah.
Beautiful. My son didn't stay over because he lives down the road.
Right.
But he has come home.
Yeah.
So we were up in the morning. We sort of... Oh, that's right. There was a spa. So we got up sharp.
Yeah.
On Sunday. Went and had a swim.
Oh, nice.
Came back up, had a lovely posh breakfast.
Right.
Went back, mooched around in the room with the views of Snowdonia.
Yeah.
Then checked out, but then we didn't have to go for a couple of hours, so we were just walking in the woods, listening to woodpeckers.
Nice, nice.
We went to an obelisk, Paul.
Wow.
Honestly.
You've had a good time there.
It was
You've
really
had a great
intense.
Time.
The absolute high point was, we had a taxi booked to the station, we checked out the hotel, we got back about half an hour, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Before the taxi was coming. And they said, do you want a drink or anything? So we got 20 minutes. We went and sat in front of the fire, flicked through a copy of Vogue.
Yeah.
Had a drink.
Because you're Vogue people.
Yeah. You know, Greta Garbo, Jimmy Dean.
Why not?
On the cover of a magazine. Yeah. And that 20 minutes, it was just one of the great 20 minutes of life.
Just chilling out.
Oh, no, I don't think I'll ever forget.
Just chilling.
Yeah.
Just relaxing.
I tell you what, this I wish what I was minted.
This is what we do.
Ooh, he's gone. Yeah. I nearly fell over then.
Yeah, it makes you.
That was a good one. You went right. I thought, yeah, I can go right.
It makes you want to be.
I was like this. I went like that. Woo. The back foot like went in behind it. It's like a sweet little back heel.
Thing is, if you were minted, you'd soon get bored of that stuff. You'd be like, have you only got Vogue? Is this the only magazine? I've seen it.
Yeah, I prefer Schmogue these days.
I've seen these people.
Give me a copy of Schmogue.
This is an old Vogue.
I edited this issue.
Yeah, yeah. But that sounds lovely, yeah.
Yeah, and then we got a taxi to Asda.
Oh, yeah.
Picked up some hummus and went home.
Whee!
Back in the game. And the prodigal came home too. So it was all the doings for dinner last night.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I nearly ruined by getting in a bit of a panic, cooking and lighting birthday candles. But I calmed down in the end.
That sounds great.
And then it was just a normal week. We were running through the mud in London and that's fine too.
We had Josh and Monique Howie and their 5 kids.
I thought they had 36 kids now.
No, they've only got 5.
Right. Seems like more.
No, they only went for the 5.
Like 5.
It's... It's really good fun when they're out, because Rudy takes control and they do loads of dancing and we lay the mat down and all that palaver. But it's pretty, pretty full on with 5 kids.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say if anyone out there's got 5, you'll know there's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. What's the age span?
The age span is 13 to, I think, about 6.
Right.
Maybe 5. 4 boys, 1 girl. So, really good fun.
He's tough.
But really intense, yeah, but he's tough. Hit a fence! Contact!
No further.
Contact!
This is no longer Regent's
Contact
Park.
With the fence! Right, we've got to adapt.
Talking of comedy commitment.
Yeah.
I was rehearsing a play on a playing field many years ago.
Yeah.
Because it was a nice day.
Yeah.
Bunch of us with the stage area mapped out on the ground.
Right.
And rehearsing away.
Yeah.
A friend of all of ours cycled past and he waved.
Yeah.
And everyone, there's about 20 of us.
Yeah.
Haven't stopped and waved back.
Yeah.
And he kept waving.
Yeah.
We kept waving.
Yeah.
He kept waving.
Yeah.
And a comedy moment was born.
Yeah.
He carried on cycling.
Waving.
Big, tall guy, cycling quite fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Waving.
Yeah, and then you realise he was heading, at this point, still quite a long way from the fence.
Yeah.
And he did it. He cycled all the way. We waved, he waved.
Yeah.
Cycled all the way to the fence without touching the brakes.
Yeah.
At any point.
Did he know he was going into it?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Let his bike hit the fence.
That's nice.
At maximum speed.
That's nice.
Showing him and the bike hard into the fence and thence to the ground.
Nice.
Just one of the most committed, stupidest,
committed moments
funniest things I've ever
seen. Slapstick.
People just gradually laughing and laughing as they saw what was about to happen.
Legend. Pure legend.
And the great... He
was in hospital for 2 months with a coma. Well, but when he came out, we respected him.
Well, it's like...
Props.
It's like you said about witnesses, you know, he's all smiling and waving and you got a laugh and he went home and, you know, assessed his injuries, which were not inconsiderable.
Yeah.
And he is a professional actor in the West End to this day.
Oh, so well...
Commitment, back. Paul.
Commitment, yeah.
Commitment, although he's got quite a limp.
Yeah, yeah. And he's... Yeah. This is this is nice. We're in the middle of Regent's Park.
A feet full of shoes full of mud.
Shoes full of mud. Running around the field.
With you in the hospital as your shoes fill with blood and you die. That's Carlito's way quote, so it's quite dark. The other day, I ran and my feet got all muddy and wet.
Yeah.
When you get your feet out after that and they've been in muddy water and then dried out, they look like they've got old-fashioned aging makeup on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All the shades. This foot.
That's another thing about the Marathon of Sable, the advice about your feet.
Yeah.
What to do with your feet.
What is the advice about your feet?
Strap them up. Well, I mean, it varies. I mean,
make
some people,
sure you bring your feet.
Some people say you should... be putting ointment on to toughen them up before you go. Some people say don't bother with that because it leads to problems. Some people say you need to bandage them up before you go. Some people say some people say chop them off, leave them at home. Some people say don't do that. The advice varies.
Yeah.
And again, it's only something I'm going to know once I've done it. I'm going to have to...
Or not done it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look after my feet, obviously.
Yeah.
I've never
had
problems with my feet, but I've never done the Marathon de Sable, so...
Yeah.
The main thing is keep sand out.
Yeah.
Keep sand off your feet if you can.
Yeah. Well, there's other parts of the body I've always found that with.
Yeah.
And let's not go too deep there. Won't it be fun at the beach? Oh, God, no!
I'll be wearing a snug pant. You can rest assured upon that. No debate about that.
You've been talking to Tan about that.
Yeah.
I love that you've gone for a snug pant. I love Tan singular on Queer Eye. I really like the way you've paired that with a jean.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good to be back in Regent's Park, isn't it?
So did you do many miles last week?
I'm glad you asked me that, Paul. Because I was quite inspired by your... You know, basically, I was thinking last week about how you can run a lot of times and not go that far,
yeah.
Or less times and go really far.
Yeah.
And we went out and did 10 on Monday.
Yeah.
And I have been running, you know, I roughly run, very roughly 6 miles a lot of times a week.
Yeah.
That's like my life.
Yeah.
Last week I thought, well, I want to do a long run. So I take a day off on Tuesday.
Right.
But I still have that 10 in my legs.
Yeah.
And then I'll do my 18 on Wednesday.
Right.
And then I won't...
Which was an awful day.
It was a horrible day.
Yes.
And I'll...
I looked out and thought, there's no way Rob's doing his 18 today.
And then
only
I knew
a fool
I'd have
would go out.
2 days off.
Right.
And then I had to run... I'd be running about 5.
Right.
In Birmingham.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly that. I had... woke up on Wednesday and the weather was awful.
Yeah.
And I did kind of wait for the rain to stop, but I also had quite... I had a few small moments of triumph over not wanting to.
Yes.
Because first of all, I could totally have shifted that plan. I had the free time on Thursday.
Right.
I could have run on Thursday instead.
Yeah.
And had 2 days off, one day running, one day off. You know what I mean? It would have been much of a muchness. And I thought, no, it's good training. Get your coat on, get your shirt on, and get out there in the weather. And of course, we know from experience that getting...
Once you're out there.
Yeah, but also when it's really nasty and you're out for a long time, it is a level of... it's a kind of tiring.
Yes,
it's really hard to quantify.
Yeah, it wears... Should we go around? Sorry.
Yeah, and I've never...
It wears
known
you out
this.
Over time, doesn't it? Yeah.
I know this so well from that blooming virtual London.
Yeah.
You saw it, the state I was in.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah, it was terrible.
The second fingers in the air, half of that run.
Yeah.
I was broken.
Yeah.
Because after you go through a couple of ankle-deep puddles, you've just got a couple of miles less in you.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I took that on, and I really enjoyed the fact that it was a... it felt like, spiritually, the mileage was the same. I felt like I was in a ultra training headspace rather than a marathon training headspace.
Right.
You know?
Plodge.
Yeah,
plodge,
I'm running all day here, no rush.
Yeah.
I was also trying to not so much chunk it down as run as far as I could before I even thought about running, you know?
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was going to run up to Springfield Park and go up the canal and back.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, just no need to run straight there. I'll run around the reservoirs. Well,
right.
I'll run around Finsbury Park. I'll run through Highbury to Finsbury Park and around the reservoirs.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then when I did
just running.
Oh, I might as well go up and down the park and walk.
Yeah.
So by the time I got to the bottom of the canal at Springfield Park, I'd done 10 miles.
Nice.
And
that's lovely, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I also... Good and bad, when I was coming down the park and walk, you know, where it is slightly downhill.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, I'm warm now, I feel good. I'm like, you know why that is, Rob? You're going too fast.
Right.
You've just slipped up into kind of tempo, and you're burning off energy you haven't got.
Yeah.
So, that was a fun note.
So you stuck the brakes on.
Put the brakes on.
Yeah.
And really got into a rhythm of running, basically this speed without the chat.
Yeah.
And... well, I've chatted quite a lot, actually, but there's just no one there. There's no one there because people were avoiding me. And then I thought, what you would say, I thought of you saying, you can't run 20 miles without water. You got to... And I hadn't taken any water in my vest or anything. So I had a fantastic grim pilgrimage. I went all the way out. It got pretty bleak out there.
Right.
To where the closed down IKEA is in Edmonton.
Oh, wow.
It's just a big empty blue box.
Yeah.
And just past that, there's a Tesco Extra.
Right. Tesco Extra.
Doesn't Tesco make you extra. Happy. It's hardly Avebury Ring. So I got there. Bought myself, and I was on the way thinking, what can I get? Do they sell gels?
Yeah.
Should I get some sweets?
Packet of fags?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Lottery ticket,
B&H Rothmans.
But yeah, guess what I have? What did I have to eat? I suddenly remembered my favourite, and I went and got one.
Don't know.
Little malt loaf.
Malt loaf, malt loaf.
A little malt loaf.
Yeah, malt loaf is great.
And you know, really hit the spot.
Pre-marathon, a malt loaf still does it for me.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thank you for that, Vassos.
And
see, just briefly, for me, whenever it's raining, I never struggle to get out because I think it might be raining at the Marathon de Sable.
Yeah.
So this is what I need to prepare for cold, wet conditions.
You know what it's like.
Get your head around it.
It gets really grim.
It's really, really
they
wet.
They say the Marathon de Sable, the closest thing you can find to it is Edmonton in February.
Yeah, it's as much about the rain as anything. That's what I've heard.
There is a closed down IKEA.
Monsieur, it is very wet today.
Get into the old IKEA.
I hope you have your brolly, monsieur.
Half a surfer has been left behind. Take a seat, and I will bring you a gel.
So you got your malt loaf.
And a bottle of water.
Nice.
And I turned back into the wind.
Yeah.
So, ooh. But I knew all along also that up and down meant I'd done like 3 miles away from... Which meant I got another 3 miles back, do you know what I mean?
Right.
And... it's basically wrestling with it being difficult, but it was easy, you know? I got back and I thought I could run straight home from here. And I was like, but when you get to the high street, you're going to stop, go to the shops, get to the bus. You won't have run far enough. You need to run around, you know?
Right.
So I did this.
So how long were you aiming for?
18.
Right, okay.
So when I got to the Lee River,
I
had this really strong decision where I suddenly went left, went over the bridge and guaranteed myself several more miles.
Right.
And plodded on.
Yeah.
Eventually got to Clapton Pond and I did just stop the clock at 18.
Yeah.
But I didn't, but I made it, and I'd also, I'd say, taken it slow and stopped on the way. So it was just over 3 hours. And then I'm thinking, oh, that's me, I'm really tired. But then I ran for a bus.
Yeah.
So that's nice. And I ran a couple of, look at that heron. Photo of you, my friend.
Feels like heron. Heron is closer.
Yeah, heron. That's one of your empowering running songs, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a heron.
Yeah.
And my heartbeat started like an hardly sing.
It's good to get stronger, do your long runs like that.
Yeah, and it felt
nice
great.
Nice and slow, yeah.
I mean, I felt the ups and the downs of it, you know. It was familiar from all kinds of runs in the past. I thought, this is only a third of the race to the king, if that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But it's early days,
isn't
it?
That's the vibe. And as I said, I ran for a bus. I also ran very gently, ran another 2 miles the next day.
Right.
Because I needed to.
Yeah.
And to warm my legs up for.
So how many miles have you been, was the week then?
35.
Right.
And, you know, it was really good going back out because I felt good. It felt absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And in a way, I simultaneously felt, I was very tired in myself on Thursday and Friday, just really wiped out as a human. But in terms of my legs and stuff, felt great.
Yeah.
I did. The reason I did that, I didn't get a chance to stretch and exercise on the Wednesday.
Right.
So I did my short run.
Yeah.
Went back, did all my exercises. Yeah, no, it was very nice. And
what's been happening with the Boozley?
Well,
have you been on the Boozley?
Well, I don't know. You could,
because it's no good for the muscles.
You could entirely frame what I've done as either a success or a failure.
Yeah.
Because when we got to this posh hotel for a kind of 36-hour holiday,
I availed myself of the minibar.
It's like, well, it's got to be done.
Yeah.
When are we coming back here?
Yeah.
So,
when is my mum going to pay for this again?
Broken record. You know, my wife definitely would have been happy to stay abstemious, but I dragged her down.
There's a theme here. There's a theme.
Yeah.
A theme developing.
But the upside is, it's that thing we talk about not being able to do, is I am absolutely confident that I won't drink this week.
Yeah.
So it really was a little hiatus.
Yeah.
And if I can pull that off, then I'll be pleased. I'll have no regrets.
Yeah.
Because I agree. I don't want to, from a running point of view, you know, I want to run a fast park run again next Saturday.
Well, I just
I intend to be clean as a whistle by then.
Well, it's just, I was, this time last week, I drank the best part of 2 bottles of wine on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I ran sort of 18, 19 miles on Monday.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
It's definitely more hard than it should be.
And also it's not as good for your training.
It's not as good for my training.
It's just not as good for your muscles.
Yeah. You know? And as you get older, because I feel like I'm on a bit of a...
And as you get drunker.
Yeah, as you get drunker. I feel I'm on a bit of a... tightrope in terms of like mileage injury, you know. I just want to reduce my chances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because I'm definitely going above and beyond the increase your mileage by 10% every week rule.
Right.
I'm making much bigger strides than that.
Yeah.
So, and I'm counteracting that by having 3 days rest during the week and stretching.
How many miles did you do last week?
I did about 58.
Yeah. Yeah, that's plenty.
Well, I did 35 in the first 2 days, day off, and then 2 11s.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of miles.
Yeah, 35. Because if you take, and then 18 plus 19, and then 2 is 22. So if you carry the 4
over
and then look at it in kilometres.
Yeah, it's loads.
That's
it's loads.
70, 20. So.
And I'll be doing about 65 this week.
And are you doing
a big miles, yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Stretching?
I'm doing some stretching.
Afterwards, before?
Before and afterwards, I'm doing a bit of stretching.
Any yoga?
No.
Any weights?
No. No, I'm not there.
Any core work?
Very little, no. Essentially nothing, no. I'm just running.
Well, 2 words I've heard said about it. Strength training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think if you can find anything,
that.
Again, it's more psychological than physical. You find a way to remind yourself of your body's strength in a way other than running.
Yeah.
I think it could be good.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I understand,
yeah.
I can't imagine what there is that you're going to want to do.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
It's got to be something you're into, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I totally get that. All I can say is that... It's working when I'm running. I don't feel any encroaching pain.
Yeah, good.
Or weakness. So.
Well, that's everything.
I don't want to fuck about with it. Sorry, yeah. I don't want to mess about with it.
Oh hell! You obviously feel passionately about this.
Yeah.
Steve, I don't know how far in we are, but Paul just dropped.
Dropped the F-bomb.
We're never going to break America.
I don't want to. And
He's cursing again. So I was darn ready to enjoy that podcast.
But I am.
Then the man with the accent I could never comprehend suddenly dropped an F-bomb.
No, thank you.
So, he's never going to make first contact with that attitude.
So yeah, as long as I don't feel... I'm doing sort of calf raises and stuff and stretches, but
yeah
I'm not planking, I'm not doing press-ups, I'm not doing any squats or anything.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Again, with the strength training, it is one of those things that people never, ever did. It is a fairly recent thing, people doing it, but I totally get why they do it,
yeah,
and I totally get it works.
Well, again, it comes down to the fact that the placebo effect is not nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if your strength training isn't... actually helping you.
I'm sure it is.
But it does make you feel strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's helping you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it helps.
Yeah.
But it's whether it's necessary, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's deemed necessary by with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. It didn't used to be. So I don't know what's changed. And guys used to do loads and loads of miles.
Yeah.
Without it. But you know, it's ultimately it's because I don't enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a complicated one. I mean, my dad used to be absolutely great at football, and he was pretty lardy and smoked a lot of cigarettes and drank a lot of bitter. And you can kind of say, oh, imagine how good it'd been if he hadn't done that. It's like morning magpie. Well, it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
And he was really good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So da da da.
Yeah, Ron Hill ran twice a day and once on Sunday for however many years and did nothing, no strength training at all.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And yet, at an absolute practical level, we know that some truths that people might not have known. I mean, I think, we've been saying ourselves today, I think that not drinking and taking days off.
Yeah.
Just have such an obvious positive effect on the body. And the only difference really is these are elements of modern thinking that we've embraced.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's... I think it's... You just find your own way, don't you?
You can go your own way.
I've sort of stumbled.
You can go your own way. Loving you isn't the right thing to do.
It's gone into a bit of Fleetwood Mac. So now that's what I call music 12. I haven't got the rights. Never going to break America.
I was planning to enjoy every moment of that podcast. Then the man with the stupid hair started singing the music of one of my favourite bands.
No, sorry.
Playing the rights.
But
I am out.
Yeah, you find your own way of doing it, don't you?
Yeah.
And I've stumbled on this two and two thing, and we'll see how long it lasts. It might not work. I mean,
yeah.
We'll see. I might do some strength training on Wednesday if I feel like it. We'll see.
Yeah. Again, like
but
you say,
for me, they're not boozing and they're getting the rest.
And if it isn't for you, like if you're not feeling, if it is not something you're into, it's not going to work. It's got to be about making contact with your own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like going back to Lisa again. She was singing the praises of doing. Oh God, he's down.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It was one of those ones where.
Was that because I stood on it? I actually stood on it. Did that raise it a bit? That might have raised
it.
No,
I think I slipped. Look, because there's a slip underneath it.
All right, okay.
I was just really worried because, you know, we haven't talked about it. I've got a bad wrist.
Oh, God.
So even though, it's, what happened
oh,
there,
goodness, mate.
Dear...
Deering's down.
Dear listener, is...
Man down.
It was a quick fall, wasn't it?
Man down, yeah.
I got snapped down. A bit of an achy... I got an achy ass! I was really worried about falling over because of my bad wrist. And in the half second I was falling there,
yeah,
went down onto the other wrist.
Nice.
Did it. Look,
nice.
I took it to the right with the correct hand.
And so is your other wrist still bad?
Kept it safe. It's much better.
Right.
I've been wearing a wrist support.
Right.
For when I'm doing difficult stuff, like travelling around the country carrying all my bags.
Yeah.
Not because it's particularly bad, but because I just run the risk of straining it again, you know?
Right.
And, it's getting better fast.
Good.
And it's good for... I can do some things and not other things.
Right.
But that's what I was going to say. I can do press-ups, no problem.
Right.
With my press-up machines. I couldn't do them if I didn't have the machines.
Right.
Because I can't do that, like flat hand on the ground.
Yeah.
And that means I can't do downward facing dog.
Right.
That makes almost any yoga session just have moments of ridiculousness.
Yes.
Because I don't
That's
know.
That's crucial, isn't it?
In your experience of yoga, it's pretty, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
kind of basic, isn't it?
But nevertheless, but that's what Lisa was saying. She was saying it's really good to have something other than, you know, no, this is not to do with the training. I'm just talking about in life. She was saying about how it's nice to do something else so that you can say, I didn't do that, I did this, you know?
Yes,
what I mean?
Yeah.
But she was saying, I'd never do yoga, you know? And everyone's got an I would never.
Yeah.
Mine isn't so much I would never. I do a fair bit of cycling. But really, it was such a freedom to me.
Yeah.
When I realised that I don't love it and I'm not very good at it.
Right.
Because it's my wife's thing, it's my brother's thing.
So I sort of noticed that. Because you used to regularly turn up on a bike, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I still use a bike. I mean, have
right,
a car.
Right, you use a bike kind of socially.
A bike is a good thing for to have in London. I like going out on my bike with my wife.
Yeah.
But I'm always a bit of a cacker on it.
Right.
And I don't want to ride it. I'd rather run, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their things that work for them.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I'm trying to focus on when I'm running, when I get to the end of the long runs, is try to maintain form.
Yeah.
So you know, try and maintain a bit of a tidy running form so I don't...
Yeah.
You know when you feel yourself just go?
Oh, absolutely.
Everything just goes.
And again, that was something I was
addressing. So I'm trying to just focus
on... Because weather will do that, wouldn't it? The other day, I was really aware that my form was rubbish because of the rain. I fought it quite hard. I think I did quite well. But I still, I felt I had a bit of a like, backache the next day.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't have had if my head hadn't been like, down against the wind, you know? So, yeah. And it's key, going back to what we were saying, up in Primrose Hill, you want to separate that out from how you're feeling, really.
Yeah.
To keep your gait and your form ticking over.
Yes.
Even as your mind and... soul are going, I want to lie down.
But it's that thing of, I think the mindset, is absolutely crucial, isn't it? It's funny how, like, sometimes you can be out for a long run and it's really hard, and then suddenly it's not for about 20 minutes and you haven't really thought about it. It's just like, sometimes that focus on this is going to be really hard and get progressively harder.
That's right, it's a tunnel you send yourself down. Well, I've definitely talked about this before, but you just reminded me of it, so let's go back there. I remember really early on, I was running in Edinburgh, and I was running around over Arthur's Seat.
Yeah.
And just looking back, I was really fit enough to do that, and I was slowing down enough to handle it and everything.
Yeah.
And it's a mountain, but it's only a little mountain.
Yeah.
You know, but because I was inexperienced, it was kind of giving me the fear.
Yeah.
I also had slightly...
Yeah, the jeebies.
The kind of... I expected that each hill would kind of take it out of me, so I'd do a hill, and I wouldn't be able to do the next hill.
Right.
And it just doesn't work like that, does it? But anyway, so I went up one climb. And, oh, wow, I got to the top of that. Went up another climb. Went down a long downhill. It was absolutely lovely. I felt like I was flying, you know.
Yeah.
And then I got to this steep, long bit, and I really built it up in my head.
Yes.
This is going to take it
this
out of me.
This is it.
One step at a time. Yeah. Take it slow. Get to the top one step at a time. I went about two steps.
Yeah. Too much. It's too much.
No, at that moment, a really good song kicked in.
Right.
It was a Supergrass number. Anyway, a second later, I looked around and said, oh,
I got
to the top. Yeah. I just didn't think about it again.
Yeah, it's absolutely...
It's just you can basically...
We over-identify with how tough it all is sometimes.
Yeah, and our brains. That's the whole wonderful thing about running, is that our brains just aren't that useful.
Yeah.
They're not that good a companion.
No.
If you can set your body to just ticking over and doing it all day, your brain can just keep out of it.
Like now we've been... How long have we been running for?
We started before you fall in that stream, and I think over an hour.
Right.
Haven't really thought about it, have we?
Yeah, so I've been, and I ran for about an hour and a quarter before then.
Yeah.
So we've been running for about 2 hours and a quarter.
Well, properly assess. I mean, do you feel different?
I feel absolutely fine.
Yeah, you feel the same as you just started.
But it's obviously part of that is training, and we're having a good chat and stuff. But it's that disassociation thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
because sometimes we over-associate with the struggle of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also in terms of distance running, in terms of ultra, there's also that sense that you can engage with that, you know, bring your mind to bear at a very basic level, just with that sense of, on we go.
Yeah.
You know, when I did the Race of Stones, I thought the walk in the hills was going to be the big lesson, but the big lesson was starting to run again after that.
Yes, yeah.
And that's so small, and it's so big. You just kind of go, on we go. You
yeah, here we go.
And you run as slow as you like.
Just running. Yeah.
And that's the same as when you run 2 days running, the first step of the next day.
Yeah.
I don't know, we run for 2.5 hours. The other day we ran a long way, and then we stopped and chatted for a while.
And then I ran off.
And when I started again, I was really stiff.
Yeah.
But I soon warmed up again, you know, just
of course,
on we go.
Yeah.
And that's, there's a real magic to that.
It's doable, yeah.
And I'll say, I'm not doing the MDS, but I know if I was doing it, I feel like that train of thought would be so much more useful to me than any sense of, pain.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the same conversation. I know from my own head that I've had pain that's well worth noting during distance running events, and thought to myself things like, oh, that's really hurting.
Yeah.
Do you need to stop? Nope.
Yeah.
On we go. You know, and that's where I live.
Yeah. It's, but I think that's, again, part of that identity thing of like, this is going to be tough, and I'm tough, and this is tough. And obviously there'll be times when it is tough, but not when you set off.
No.
Not for the first couple of hours.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
It's possibly not for the first couple of days.
Yeah, possibly. I'm sure it'll be. But it's like, you know, keep your toughness for when you need to be tough.
Yeah, and save your stress for when you get sand up your Willis.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're wearing a snug pant,
Really snug pant.
Your fueling plan could really work against that.
Yeah, really snug pant.
I can't believe we're really talking about snug this. Pant. Can't believe I brought it up again. Can't believe I used the words brought it up. Do you know that the zoo is actually a triangle?
to join.
Wow. Is it really?
Right, so we're back at the back end of Regent's Park. Where do you want to go from here?
It's up to you,
mate. Do you want to head for home? Do you want to carry on past the zoo, back up Primrose Hill?
We could... do you want to set off back to whence we came? Well, would that be absurd? It's more about how you want to get home. I'm just sort of running for another hour and a half sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, if we went to the top of Primrose Hill, could you find your way home from there without me?
No.
Okay.
Don't think so.
Okay.
Might be able to.
Well, that answers that
might
question.
Might be able to. Might be a bit tough.
All right, then.
But I can get back from Regent's Park.
Well, we're in. Oh, you mean
yeah,
you can get back
I mean,
here.
I can get back to, like Camden's that way, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. What do you want to do in Camden?
I know Camden. Do you know what I mean? If you could put me on a canal and,
here we
and
go.
I could run
Let's go down the canal. Follow me.
Right.
Well, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to go back into Regent's Park and take a picture. Here he is. Show me your gait. In fact, I'm going to get a video of you. You can tell me how you're feeling, how far you've gone today. 1 second. I want this. This is great. Great content.
Just running.
Feeling? How are you feeling?
Feeling great. 2.5 hours in. No problems at all. Nice, easy running. No need to engage yet. There's no contact. I'm just surrendering. Just surrendering to the miles. Easy, easy. Pa, 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 pa,
pa, pa, pa. And can you smell manure?
Always.
Yeah. You've had some good smells today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the... obviously, the toilet situation has caused me slight tension in the desert. There's no real toilets there. They give you a plastic bag to deposit.
And a mattock.
And a
little mattock.
I don't know what the arrangement is, but we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah.
That can add another layer of tension.
I thought that the...
I thought there'd be toilets in the middle of the desert.
I thought that wild... self-expression in that way.
Yeah,
self-sufficiency.
That's
one of your areas of expertise.
Yeah, no, but there's not that much... It doesn't seem to be that much shelter in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Constantly digging holes in the dunes.
Yeah.
My little head popping out.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
I will see.
Yeah.
No, I have to say, I had a little bit of a... I felt a bit stupid about that in Brecon Beacons.
Right.
Banner Brecon, because, yeah, there's no trees or Waterloos up there.
Yeah.
They had them, obviously, at the food stations.
Yeah.
But they were few and far between, and then when you got there, there was really only kind of one.
Yeah.
And I don't think I went in one at any point, and luckily didn't really have any difficulties, but it's something to think about, isn't it?
I'm sure it's accepted at some stages people are going to have experiences in between in these very intense sessions.
It's all about empathy and community, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
be with someone and for them to be like, just hand on the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck, mate.
Yeah.
There it goes. Well done. It's tough.
So this is kind of carrying us along quite nicely, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how long are you running today? What are you looking for?
Yeah, it's a good question. I kind of thought I'd follow my nose with you, see how long we got, and then I'll plan the rest of the week off the back of that.
Right.
I want to do the usual thing, get some fairly high mileage Monday through Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then run fast on Saturday.
Right.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
And then... we're going to go long, aren't we? Let's go long.
We're going long next Monday, yeah. We're going to go long and trail.
We're going to go to the woods.
We're going to go to the Chilterns. And also we're going to experiment with rucksacks and... Well, I am anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Going to take a rucksack.
We'll take fuel.
Get the water out.
Liquid,
get the old... Yeah.
Layers.
Yeah.
Bags.
Yeah.
One of the 18 the other day. It's funny how the things... Coming back, right back to the beginning, you're saying about kit.
Yeah.
Now, when I'm running a long way now, I just, get the Vaseline out, get the plasters out.
Yeah.
Get the hydration vest on.
Yeah.
It was actually felt like I was a real badass because I didn't take any water.
Right.
I was like, well, this is a global city.
Yeah.
I can source water.
Yeah, I never take water. But obviously, it's important. I always make sure I have a long drink before I go out. But
yeah. I think...
It's a bit stupid, really, running 3-4 hours without water. But I'm not really sweating.
Well, all I know is, the reason it's a funny thing for us is because going way back to our first
runs together, which is what, 8 years ago now.
Yeah. I used to get
we
very
ran
thirsty.
Out under 20 in the training for that first marathon.
And I got really
And when you got thirsty,
yeah.
I mean, you basically started to panic.
Yeah.
You're like, but we haven't got water. Like, I think there's a shop down here. I need water now. And then we found some, and you were right.
Yeah.
And it was, but you know, that panic is available to the person not carrying water.
Yeah, it's.
But also,
not a drank too first. Yeah, so
it's difficult because when you run a long way in the heat,
yes,
then
you need your water.
Hydration. Yeah, but also, if you drink too much water over a long time, you will eventually have a problem with your salts.
Yes.
So then, when I did the Race of the Stones, I took the salt pills can be really expensive.
Right.
So I got a couple of massive cheap ones from Holland Barrett.
Yeah.
Had one each morning.
Yeah.
And then when I met, I can never remember the name of the expert who told me this, but she said, no, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
That means you didn't have any water after the first hour and a half, you know?
Right.
So that's why in Banner Bekeniog, I properly had these tasty little salt tablets that every 3/4 of an hour.
Right.
And again, it's just not something I would have thought of before. But
yeah. Just knowledge, isn't it?
Getting me around.
Yeah.
I think you can have it easier than that. Kevin Boyter, I believe, he runs a hydration vest, same as mine, two suckable tubes, you know, coming out. One of them's got water in it.
Right.
The other one's got water with electrolytes in it.
Right.
So you can just sort of sip that or sip that, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, the other thing is, when you've got it packed in like that, is well, you can just sip it. You don't have to think, I'll have a drink.
Yeah.
You know, you can just.
Yeah.
Dab it whenever you want some, which is a really good way of sidestepping that thing of overthinking it or underthinking it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the other stuff is when you get too tired to think straight about something that half an hour ago you didn't do, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was Susie herself who said that once. She said, I didn't feel very well because I realised I should have had a gel or a sweet or something that I hadn't.
Right.
And because I was so tired and feeling so odd, I thought, oh, well, it's too late now.
Yeah, funny.
Instead of just having one.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go and do that. I don't even know what kind of beast that is for, but it's free. It's out.
Yeah.
It's coming for you.
It's escape from the zoo. Yeah.
It's their new pterodactyl exhibit. But it's good training for the desert because you've seen those old films.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, where they're
just following me, just waiting for me to fall. The sub-3 marathon runner. Tasty.
Yeah.
Tasty food.
Yeah!
So you're going to get me on the canal, are you?
Yep. You're going to go back past the track.
Right.
Peel around onto the canal by the old Snowdon Aviary, which isn't there anymore. Yeah, so still no sight of... Can you see any big beasts here? They're definitely there. Smell them. Someone needs to shovel out the zebras. They've earned their stripes. So, yeah, we'll go to the Chilterns. We'll bring some stuff.
Bring some snacks.
We'll absolutely
and that'll be a bit of a
shame
running,
ourselves.
Running, travelling adventure. Yeah.
I mean, to look forward to.
Yeah.
Hours and hours of stupid rubbish.
Trot, trot, trot.
So once we get to Camden, what would you do then?
Don't know, I'll just run home, I think. I don't, I mean, I'll work out how long we've run and how long I've got to run and just take it from there.
Yeah, good.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Well, then we peel left. Sun's come out. I was not expecting that.
It's turning to a really nice day, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was pretty vicious this morning.
It was horrible. Well, as you
say, I wonder if they'll reopen the woods.
Closed all the woods.
Yeah, they might do.
Into the woods.
Yes, so I'm going to do long run today and tomorrow, have a rest, and then do like a couple of 12, 13s. I'll do about 65 miles this week.
About the same distance today as tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, looking to do like 220s.
Warthogs. We saw a couple of warthogs.
We used to run down here a fair bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
Haven't run down the canal for a while.
We're going to carry on. And then we'll go into the hills next week. But the sign just fell over. Running with Paul Tompkinson and Rob Deering.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss, kiss.